You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
You see me.
Here you'll find the but I'm not looking at you. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as the community of church planning and multiplying experts to a few threats.
Wait, I probably just got copyrighted law.
There. Okay, so I was over the Christmas holidays, which I know, you know, a few weeks back now. My son was sleeping, and he was
on my lap. And this is newsworthy. Okay, there's more to the story.
He was sleeping, and it was time for dinner, and he had to get up. So I was just holding him, and then my daughter comes up and then opens his eyelid and sings, "Do you want to build a snowman?"
Yes,
and
I
then
love
we
that.
We all start singing it, and then he wakes up finally and starts screaming his head off. So
that didn't end well. But
no, it was funny though.
I guess he didn't want to build a snowman.
No, I don't think
But you
so.
Went up to Canada. Did you go to Ontario?
Yeah, we did.
For Christmas, and I went to Miami. So I think we could not have gone farther away from one another. It's these podcasts. It's the way you constantly interrupt me during the introduction. And I just needed to get a break and get away from you. I preached at Christ Fellowship, great church planting church. I serve as teaching pastor. You went back home to see family?
Yeah, it was fun to see family play with the snow.
Yeah, there you go. We did not have any snow.
So before we get into our question today, I wanted to read out a review by Reeves Family 1017.
Reeves Family? This is his name? Their name? Her name? Hi, what's your name? I'm Reeves Family.
Okay, it's pretty good though. I mean, 5 stars.
Super, okay, well, all right.
Super helpful and practical. All right, good. This is what he's doing over his that they're doing over their Christmas vacation. All right. So as a church plant pastor, I find this podcast super helpful. Very is in caps locks. Very rarely does the topic addressed not speak directly to something on my husband, dad, pastor, student plate. Okay, so he's a guy. The content is excellent, and it's always in very manageable bites for my busy lifestyle. On top of that, I find the openness to multiple cultural and denominational contexts a breath of fresh air. As a United Methodist pastor, I found this podcast the single best resource for weekly provoking my thoughts and imagination for this new work God is doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks to everyone on the team who puts this together, even if Ed still doesn't know there's music in the intro.
There's music in the intro? I added the music to the intro.
Oh, yeah. You do everything.
I mean, let me just say that for Reeves Family, Mr. Family.
Yeah.
That'd be a great name, Mr. Family. Yeah, I just want to say for Reeves that As a United Methodist pastor, as an Arminian, I'm just glad he chose to leave that review, because many of our Calvinist viewers, listeners, have no choice. It was just predestined for them to do so. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate that.
Oh,
all right.
Man. Sorry. Well, Reeves Family, thank you for a review. We'll send you actually one of my favorite books, Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. It's a classic. If you haven't read it, you'll love it. If you have, then you can give it away.
If you have, don't leave any more reviews.
Yeah. So just email me, daniel@newchurches.com or Twitter, DM me. And we'll get that to you. Well, today's question is from a church planter in downtown Toronto, Canada.
Oh, another Canadian.
Yes, another Canadian.
But where in downtown Toronto? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's 2 million people.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. My name is Daryl Dash, and I'm a church planter in downtown Toronto, Canada. As well as being a church planter, I also get to help run a training institute for church planters that takes people from thinking about planting to actually planting a church. So my question is this: what are some keys to not only being a church planter, but training other church planters so that they're effective? Thanks, and I look forward to hearing the answer.
Well, this is right up our alley. I mean, it's what we're all about at newchurches.com, training church planters, so... why don't you take us away, Ed?
I have no idea. First of all, Daryl's like the beast. He blogs at Dash House.
Yes,
he's a good friend. We've actually sat around a table and talked about that we're too old for planting churches.
But you're still planting.
Yeah. So we need like a special badge for like church planters.
Well, you'll
over
get a pin.
40.
You'll
get a pin. I'd like
from
a 40.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
Pin,
I love that. I didn't know Jesus gave out pins. I remember crowns. Where does he give out pins? Is that in Second Opinions, chapter 4.
I think that's the International Pentecostal Church. Or what are they?
No, you remember the International Pentecostal Holiness Church.
Holiness
actually
Church, yeah. They
give
pins.
Out pins.
Yeah, they do.
But that's not Jesus.
No,
that's
it's
a denomination.
Yeah.
Though they're great people.
Yeah, they are.
And I love that. Wow. That really turned
off
fast.
But they must have got it from somewhere.
That escalated quickly.
Yes.
All right. So on to Daryl's question. So specifically, what are some ways?
Keys to not only being a church planner, but training other church planners.
Yeah. I would say first is that church planning training is best done in a church planning laboratory. Mm-hmm. And so having some connection is I think key. So it's not just, you know, let's read in a book. Not that there's anything wrong with the book, since you and I wrote one, Daniel.
Yeah.
But I think if we're in a laboratory, we can get involved, but at the same time learn. It's both. It's training in lab. So let me give you an example. You know, when we do these boot camps, for example, my friend Steve Childers and I'll be down visiting with the Presbyterian Church in America MNA people at an upcoming boot camp they're having, Mission North America. This is a PCA denomination. Mm-hmm. Steve Childers and friends and Fred and others there. Anyway, so but when we used to do this at a hotel in Orlando. When we were there, you'd literally have 4 days, and these people. I mean, Childers is this beast. He creates this church planting ecosystem notebook, and you go through it, and it's just golden content. But what happens is that a lot of people discover it about 6 months later.
Yeah,
and that's the advantage of having the notebook that they use. And so what'll happen is that they go through, and then over the next 10 months, 18 months, whatever, they kind of walk through what they learned in one week. Mm-hmm. So, because I think drinking through a fire hose, we know the cliche.
Yeah.
But drinking through the fire hose doesn't allow you to digest things well. Sorry for the mixed metaphor.
Yeah.
But I think having that together, so a church planting course, church planting training, those kind of things, I think just works best. So I'd say first, church planting training is best done in a church planting laboratory. I'd say number two is don't overlook the issue of vision and the necessity of casting a vision and team building. Because I think when it comes to vision and team building, that those are probably some of the areas where, and you know, and I know Daryl, I know the crowd he runs in, I know we've been at this national denominational meeting together. It's a theologically minded bunch, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of them, not all, but most of the planners are going to be a little more theologically astute, a little more theologically engaged. And what they may struggle with is, how do I plan a church? How do I sit down with these people in North York, or how do I sit down with people in Mississauga, mm-hmm. and say to them, you know, I don't even have a church to invite you to. People mentally say, I want to go to church. Well, where is it? Well, it's on so-and-so. It's right at the QEW. Well, now you can't – all you've got is, let me tell you what it's going to be like. That's casting a vision. And then team building, same thing. You've got to, you know, most church planners aren't going to show up with a team of people. I don't think Daryl has seven people with him. So, but you can't do this without building a team. You can't do it without having a team. So I think the getting other people, we write about this in planning missional churches. Actually, one of the earlier podcasts, we talk about the indispensable roles in a team.
Yeah.
Well, how do you cast that team? And I think that's how do you cast a vision for ultimately that team? So those are kind of things I'm sort of thinking about. What else would you add?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that we need to, I mean, going back to the fire hose learning lab or learning experience, another way of doing it is, you know, I applaud Mac Lake, Jeff Christofferson, our friends at NAM, with their training. Yeah, where they do their assessment, they do a few different methods they use to train planters. There's this one thing that we write about at newchurches.com, and it's called the Shark Tank. Yeah. So like the show Shark Tank, or to Canadians, Dragon's Den, same idea. During the assessment process, they actually have the planter come up, and in 2 minutes, he has to share his vision for his church plant, or they need to share their vision for their church plant to the Shark Tank panel in a minute or two, and then the Shark Tank panel will grill them. Basically, the idea is, what if you had four people who had up to $250,000 or $500,000 that they were going to invest in you, how would you pitch your idea at them?
Yeah.
So what's neat about this idea is, not only is it the actual experience or the prep that the church planner needs to go through to share it, you know, nicely, cogently, you know, to so it works well, but also it's answering the questions. Right. So it's interesting to see even leadership style when you see individuals come in and their 2 minute presentations more about the context and the number of unreached people and their strategy versus others who are have a little bit more charisma in their leadership and kind of start casting the vision for the impact that they want to do in their city. So, I mean, different learning experiences like that help as well.
Yeah, it's good. The as we looked in our research, we did some research on kind of church planning preparation. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we found is some of the best, for example, assessments. We've talked about assessments a lot. So And I guess it's worth touching on, but but you know, don't be people in training that haven't been through assessment. That dilutes what you're trying to do. Ultimately, it's a disservice to them. But one of the things that people found is too is that assessments can be used as a tool for development of church planters, which is actually contrary to originally what Charles Ridley wrote and proposed. But for example, if an assessment you've listened to preaching and the church planter, the preacher, the pastor, preaching is good but not great, you might say we want to develop some of these things. Preaching is going to be essential in church planning. So and so some of the if they use the CPCA, the Church Planning Candidate Assessment, and then maybe follow up with a Ridley or an assessment center, then they can use that as part of the development process. So in other words, there are certain things that should be one size fits all. I think you should train here 15 ways to gather a core group. I think you should have here 6 ways to launch on a Sunday. Those things matter. But I think also recognizing here are 5 or 6 things you need to work on to be prepared. Some of them could be marriage relationships, you know, if the church planner's married, things of that sort.
Yeah, the other critical skill, especially if a church planner wants to, you want to not only plant a church, but grow it to beyond 100, 125, 200. And we've talked about this in the previous episodes, but it's learning how to be a leader of leaders. Yeah. You know, learning how to apprentice, learning how to multiply yourself is critical to the growth of your church. In fact, in our recent State of Church Planning in the U.S. Research report, one of the questions
Daryl's
was—
in Canada. Can you really say State of the U.S.?
Well, it's coming out.
It
the Canadian one is
it
coming
is.
Out. Yeah, we're close.
It's weeks away.
Yeah, we're getting close.
From being released, which would be the first time ever we've had a study that's done in the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. We haven't yet got the Brits on board, but we're trying. We've got some potential there as well. So this will be huge. Good. Separate data, but also an opportunity for comparison. So go ahead, the U.S. You state of U.S. church planning.
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S. research, we discovered the importance of the planter investing in others, investing in other leaders who are wanting to plant or start new churches as well, and how that actually affects the growth of your church too. So, I mean, what would it look like in your training of church planters to have them develop groups where we're, or even cross-collaborative networks in your city, right, with other church planters? Like, can they actually gather together other church planters?
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely a correlation in those kinds of relationships, and I think we want to elevate those. We want to focus in on those. So as we do that training, you know, and Daryl's affiliate one domination, but you know, he's not PAOC, but he could connect with some PAOC church planters and learn from them, and there are, you know, lots of others in and around the GTA Greater Toronto Area. So I think there's now a lot of opportunities here. Now I would say, if I could push back to you, Daniel, is that, I mean, you've increasingly been thinking about these idea of church planning residencies, things of those sorts. What have you seen or learned that would be applicable to Daryl's question?
I mean, the big thing is along the spectrum of practice and theological education, actually determining what level of involvement you want to have in the lives of those planters that you're mentoring, right? So, I mean, part of it is, okay, what do seminaries do best, or and what can you do best? So it's also, it's actually coming together really around this idea of a personal development plan, you know, that we referred to a bit earlier, that you can, you know, glean from church planning pre-assessments, but also just understanding, hey, there are leadership competencies across the board, regardless of role. Right. So, I mean, how are they developing
what would you give an example of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the competency of disciple making, right? Or theological understanding or vision, stewardship, collaboration. And actually, we did quite a bit of work on this at Lifeway. I'm part of the leadership development department, and we've done a lot of work on this, determining how to develop individuals' competencies in leadership ability. So it's focusing on those things as well.
Good word.
Yeah.
Good word. So I think as a whole, Daryl, I mean, what we know about you, well, I don't know. Do you know Daryl?
No.
Okay. He's Canadian. You don't know each other?
Of course. Down the road.
Yeah. You know Bob?
Yeah.
from Red Deer? Yeah, sure. Yeah. We're hanging out. So I mean, what? No, Daryl. Daryl's a robust thinker on these things. And again, I want to send people to his blog, Dash House. It's got a lot of real helpful things. So what I would say, Daryl, I mean, you know much of what we've already said. What I might say that might be just one additional point of exhortation is as you train church planners, you don't need forever, but you need some time. And I know, you know, you don't need 3 years, not a seminary. What's an optimal time? If I could have 9 months to 18 months with church planters, meeting on a monthly basis, and with some reading and some conversation between them, I really think that I could encourage them. And with your skills and your gifts, I really think you'd encourage them in a way that would make them much more effective at their church planning task. And so thankful for what you're doing. Thank you for doing the GTA and beyond. And so we appreciate the opportunity to answer your question.
Good word. Good word. Well, if you have questions on church multiplication, multi-site planting, please send them in and we would love to answer them. You can send them in at newchurches.com. Talk to you next time.